French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the French Connection. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and today's date is the 10th day of February 2009. It's great to have you all here with me again for this most important of broadcasts. So much has happened in our world over the last, I'd say, since this 9/11 event, things have speeded up in a way, that we are finding ourselves inundated by terrible news. There is nowhere you can turn today where a new calamity or catastrophe is not being flashed before your eyes. Many people think that this is just happenstance. It is not. They have turned up the mayhem and the world has experienced. The they that I'm discussing today is the same they that has always been there causing these problems, and we're going to get into that discussion with my guest later on after about 10 or 15 minutes here of this introduction. The question that you have to ask yourselves is, what are you willing to do to repair the problems the world faces? What is it you're willing to sacrifice to fix this problem? When I first understood that my country, the United States of America, was not the nation I thought it was, I was devastated by that. I had provided myself for military service, and I had lost my father to a military jet crash, And I saw that the sacrifices my family and others around me's family had made were in a just and righteous cause. That's what I believed. And when I saw this man, George Bush, come into office, and I saw the things that this guy was doing to the Constitution of my country, and what I saw him doing to freedom and freedom of expression and freedom of association and freedom to make decisions for my own life, I became fearful of the future, and I understood right away that something terrible was on the horizon. At the time, I didn't know how bad it really was. It took some research and a lot of my effort and a lot of the effort of people that I stayed in close contact with researching with me to find out the truth about how our world works. One of the things that I'm the proudest of is that I was able, with the help of others, to work at putting this information in a place that other people could check it with me, could examine it for its veracity, for its honesty, for its timeliness, and for its historical value and credibility. And as I went through these documents, stories, histories, I found out that we were indeed in some of the worst problems in human history. And in fact, we may be facing our ultimate and imminent demise at the hands of an elite, psychopathic, in my view, criminal gang. Many believe these people are adherents to satanic beliefs. I don't have any problems with people who think that way. My research tells me that is probably a great possibility. Many of the people who work with them have been corrupted and do not realize the depth of illness and sickness that these people have in their hearts, so they offer themselves up to assist this criminal gang in hurting our world. Others of the people who help are just plain greedy, taking payment and taking access and power in exchange for power. They give their allegiance over to these criminals. But at the top of the group are Zionist Jews. And the audience that I'm speaking to this evening in South Africa and in Zimbabwe and in area nations, Mozambique and others, including Pan-Africa as well as Europe and America, you all are aware of some of the groups that this group has fostered. One that you may not be aware of that I have been doing great research in recently was a group called Common Purpose. You will find them in South Africa, in the United States, in France, in Britain. They are a construct of this criminal Zionist organization. They are funded through communist affiliations from these Zionists because, as you will learn, or as you already know, communism was built and fostered by world Jewry as a mechanism of taking over the world's independent countries and governments, and it has been used rapaciously to take over religious constructs and belief systems, destroying people's faith through the beliefs that people can collectively run a nation and allow that collectivism to be the overriding method for harmony within a society. And I happen to believe that the individual is the root of society's strength. And giving that individual a good quality environment to flourish in, both morally, emotionally, and spiritually, what we end up bringing to our societies are individuals who are well-rounded, strong in character, and strong in honesty and other areas, and we come together and we do great things as individuals. We lift up our countries individually. This is not what they want. They do not want individuals to have the right to think for themselves. They do not want freedom to reign in the minds, hearts, and countries of the world. It is their way or no way. And I, for one, cannot live in a system that they have planned for us. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think any of you do either. One of the things that I have been also looking into is the control that has gone on in South Africa by organizations like the SAJBD, which is the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, a very, very dangerous Zionist criminal organization that uses strong-arm tactics with politicians to control both your political structures as well as your financial structures. And it is headed up by people who work directly for Israeli interests. So as you watch the destruction of the deputy minister's reputation for speaking the truth about who runs America, you'll note that this group, this Jewish Board of Deputies of South Africa, through their affiliations to both world Zionism and specifically Israel, are placing great pressures on the South African public and government. Now, that is not a unique thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is, in fact, quite common when you see how things are done in France to see the same activity in the United States through B'nai B'rith and the Abe Foxman's organization of the Anti-Defamation League, which is anything but an anti-racist group. So tonight I've decided to bring on a good friend and a collaborator for a very long time. His name is Mohammed Rafiq. He's from outside of London. He knows a great deal about what these people have in store for us and how they plan on exerting this control that they're building everywhere in the world, both financially, media-wise, and politically, educationally. They are in the last moments of putting this conspiracy into place. And we as a people, as a people who love, care, and care about our families and our freedom and our individual right to follow our own path in this world, need to stand up now and be heard. CII, for their part, giving me, a non-Muslim, an opportunity to share these truths with the Muslim community of South Africa and the world is to their credit. But I would like to be a person who helps bring together the Christian side of the world and the Islamic side of the world, not to become one or the other, not for proselytizing purposes, but for us to educate each other on our own communities, and then to turn our attention to the real criminals of our planet. I want to be a uniter of people. I want to be a lightning rod, if you will, of the truth in both places. And I need your help to do that. If you care about everything that is good in this world, you will take seriously the things that I have asked you to do in the past and will ask you to do in the future. I will never ask things I do not already do myself. Tonight's guest again is Mohammed Rafiq, and I hope he's already up online with me. Mohammed Rafiq, are you with me?
I am indeed, Darrell. Good evening.
How were you listening to that intro, Mohammed?
I was indeed, and salam alaikum to the Muslim listeners out there.
Well, Mohammed, you know, we know who's doing this. We've spent the last 4 years in deep research, but there were a lot of people laying the groundwork for me to discover these truths. This stuff is not new to many communities of the world. We know that this crime gang has been doing horrible acts to the world for a very long time. What is it different now that we have opened up here? We have opened up an opportunity, I think, to change everything once and for all with these people. And I for one will not stop. I will breathe my last breath fighting this group. It looks like we're starting to find ways of really stopping them in their tracks. Do you have any comments on how this is taking place?
Well, I think one of the key issues that we're looking at has changed, Darrell, is the number of people who have come across the subject and have embraced the subject in varying degrees. So we've got a spread of awareness about the subject, which has been massive, especially on the back of the internet. And I think that's been a big step forward.
I agree. This internet has been a real tool for truth. And, of course, they are working overtime trying to stop us from that message, but it's not working. It seems that their professionalism in presenting their own lies are subpar, substandard. And it's very easy today, once you know the facts, to look through and see through their deceptions. Are you finding the same thing?
I think not. It's always been easy to see through the deceptions, Darrell. One thing that's going on now is that it's happening a lot faster. The rate at which information is coming out and the number of people who are scouring and searching for truth means that revelations seem to come out much faster than they ever did before and travel round a lot faster, so fast that it's just not possible for the criminals to actually stop the news from getting through their fingers. I'm sure they would love to stop it from circulating, but they just cannot.
Well, I've watched, and you've watched, this group who claims to be, let's talk a little bit about their organizations that run around the world claiming that everybody's an anti-Semite. The latest victim of this charge is a bishop in the Catholic, in the original Catholic doctrine church named Bishop Williamson, who has stated some things that are contrary to what they want known, and I'm not going to get into that subject, just rather the subject of Bishop Williamson as a person. But interesting, they called him an anti-Semite. Now, let's discuss a little bit about hatred here and who the real haters are and what the real group of hatred hate mongers is, because many people are not aware that the Talmud is probably hands down the most racist religious book on our planet. You want to discuss a little bit about some of the hatred that is spewed in that document?
Well, we find that many people, when they think of the term Jew and Judaism. They think maybe of Abraham and Moses and the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is a classic film. It's a great film. It was remade as Moses as well. There's two versions of it. And many people see these laws which came down on the Ten Commandments, things like thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill and to not oppress, things that people of any background, not just Muslim or Christian, but even atheist and secularist could agree that these are good values to have in a society. They're what we would describe as universal values. We'll find Hindus and Sikhs and Buddhists, people of many parts of the world, when they've come across little nomadic tribes locked away in the Amazon jungle for centuries, we find that they don't like the idea of theft or murder either. These are universal values that more or less every human being can subscribe to. It's like it's written on their conscience, in fact, as Muslims.
Can we hold on 1 second, Mohammed, with that thought? Because we are in the first hour, not victims, because we want to support the radio station's ad structure. We have to take a break for an ad here at this moment on the show. Would you hold that thought, please, and just give us an opportunity to go to our sponsors, please?
Business or pleasure, huge savings guaranteed. Let us tailor a deal for you from the half-ton. You're listening to The French Connection on CII.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, from our break here. Mohammed, I want to go right back to you. You were discussing the idea that murder is an abhorrent ideal that we all as human beings turn away from, except now that I have understood this criminal gang that we're facing has a different set of standards. You want to go into some of the ideas that original Judaism had through the Torah, but now we are with a group in this particular religious community that follows Talmudic traditions, and some of these traditions are abhorrent and disgusting in my view.
Well, what actually happens, Dal, is that, you know, we were saying that these are universal values that all of mankind can subscribe to. We can all agree with these values. And then we find this book, the Talmud. And the Talmud, ordinarily one would think as a commentary, should have a position, a role, as a commentary to the books of the Torah, the books of Moses, and the Psalms of David. The only function of it should be to help maybe understand and clarify points. But what's actually happened is that with the passage of time, there are groups in the Jewish community that say, no, the Talmud sits on top of the Torah. It's not a commentary. It's actually superior to being the traditions of the Sanhedrin, these 70 people that went up with Moses up to the mountain. They brought back a verbal and oral tradition that was eventually committed to writing, and they say it is above the Torah in importance, and it ranks higher in terms of reaching laws. As a result, when we have a simple commandment like thou shalt not kill, or in the correct Hebrew, thou shalt not slay a life, you shan't go out and murder somebody, it says in the Talmud a life is only in respect of we Jews, we Israelites, because we are human beings and all other creatures are only half human. So now we have a simple commandment, don't kill people, now turned into, yes, but we can choose who the definition of people are. So when we kill people who are not from amongst our group, that's not actually murder. Neither is stealing from them. Neither is sleeping with their wives to be considered adultery, and so on. So we have a set of laws we now that actually undermine and in fact reverse the teachings which everybody can agree on as a set of universal values. Not stealing, not killing. Most of the commandments, with the exception of the ones specific to theology, about worshipping God, for instance, everything else in there, nobody has any problem with. Except this one group who have laws that say, we don't want to apply these laws to all of mankind. The Quran is very clear when it talks of humans. It says, you know, O mankind, or in another verse it may say, O children of Adam, because as Muslims we believe that everybody is descendant from Adam and Eve as human beings. We're all from the same family, from the same tribe, and the laws are very clear. Murder is murder. Whether somebody is a Muslim or is not a Muslim, it's prohibited. Because
now,
murder is a human being.
Mohammed, this is, you know, if I were to say, for example, somebody the Jews hold in high regard is a, you know, is sitting in a vile pit of disgusting bodily fluids or whatever, I would be called an anti-Semitic racist, and in many countries I might even be arrested for that statement. But in their own documents, do they not say that Jesus Christ is himself in a vat of vile bodily fluids and should be spat upon? And isn't this part of their doctrine as well?
Sadly, we find several references in the Talmud to Jesus, peace be upon him and his mother, and, of course, references to his mother. And they are, I heard one bishop describe them as less than flattering. They obviously believe that Jesus was a magician. So we would say, as faithful people, say Christians and Muslims, that he worked great signs, he worked great miracles by the power of God, and yet they would say that he did these things through magic, and as such say that he will be treated as a magician and is boiling in, he's up to his neck in hell in boiling evil substances. And actually in one of the traditions, he in the Talmud, he actually cries out from hellfire saying, don't let anybody say anything bad about the children of Israel as I did, for they are more than the apple of the eye to the Almighty God. Obviously, these people have fabricated traditions of what's going on in the unseen world of hellfire and so on, and who's in there and what they're saying. Fancies and whims, I'm afraid, Dal, but the Talmud is full of them, and
yeah,
they're very unpleasant.
Now, my point was, at the beginning of this, was that it is they who go out and charge others for being purveyors of hate, but in fact, the hate that is being spewed forth in this world is coming from this group. It's interesting that, you know, I have been called the things that they are more often than you could imagine in my battle with them, and it seems to be a way that they deflect and resist investigation of themselves is by immediately turning to you're a racist if you say those things, or you're a racist if you think that way. Much like they did to that deputy minister in South Africa when she spoke the truth about America being controlled by Jewish interests. And she was exactly accurate in her statement. And rather than come out and fight her on the facts of her statement, they said that she is a racist and deserves to be thrown from her job. And we see the same thing happening now with a foreign minister, a foreign office employee in Britain, who was disgusted with what was going on in the wholesale slaughter of Palestinians. And of course, his outrage erupted in maybe some unkind words toward the killers, and yet this man is dismissed from his job for being a hate purveyor. Now, we know full well that neither of those instances constitute hate, and yet they get away with it because they hold the levers of power. Let's discuss a little bit about that, Mohammed.
Well, of course, this chap was in his gym, and it was a gym which clearly had some kind of TV screens there, maybe in front of the rowing machines or the cycles or whatever. And this imagery, which they tried to keep out of the media, but because it was so prevalent over the internet, it became almost impossible for British mainstream TV to completely ignore these images. They had to put some up because so many people were looking at it on the internet now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the middle of his gym training session, this stuff came up on the TV in front of him, and he became very emotional, understandably so. Anybody who is not moved by the sight of babies burnt to a crisp and women with limbs hanging off and men with maybe the entire back of their head and everything from the face having been blown away, how any human being could not see these things and feel deeply moved and deeply ill, I don't know. Some people seem to be capable of that. I don't know how they are, never mind perpetrating it. But he was understandably, justifiably moved. He spoke out against this. And it's sad, Darrell, that there are people who, in that same gymnasium training with him at that same time, couldn't realize that his actions were understandable, but instead made a complaint about his conduct. And, of course, then it came out that he was a former employee of the Foreign Office in Palestine, too, which didn't help. He'd obviously been bubbling under with anger at these people for a very long time. So we have a sick and twisted world, Darrell, where a man whose reaction is totally understandable to the images that he's looking at, and a knowledgeable man at that in terms of he has history of the area, and yet he is the one that the papers are criticizing.
Yeah.
They're not criticizing the people who pressed the buttons, who pulled the triggers, who fired the weapons, who unleashed the fire on these children, who committed this carnage. No, that's politically correct, bordering on morally acceptable. What is not acceptable is to say, oh, these damn Jews are at it again. Because to say the word Jew is bordering on racism, even though they themselves are the first to say, I'm a Jew and I practice Judaism. I make the point, Darrell, that he was only criticizing these Jews for doing what they're doing. And, of course, we can say that the term Jew is correct because maybe Zionists who are not Jewish exist outside of the state of Israel. But in that plot of land, I'm afraid they are Jewish. So it's a correct label, but for him to have publicly said, look at what these Jews are doing to these Palestinians, both of which are ethnic labels, he was vilified in the mainstream media for being prejudiced in some way.
He was arrested for it.
Absolutely.
As of today, they arrested this man for this.
And yet, he was reacting to the scenes of death and carnage and mutilation of innocent civilians. I heard a London taxi driver on BBC Radio London during this last round of genocide, Darrell, and he rang in, and they cut him off fairly quickly, but he said, you know, we have armies these days in this country that no longer fight armies. Instead, they're fighting civilians.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sums up the situation in Palestine perfectly. We have a fully equipped army fighting civilians.
Well, we see other problems with this document that these people follow, such as justifying the sexual abuse of young boys or the sexual abuse of three-year-old children, young girls. All of these instances in these documents point to a morally bankrupt teaching, a group of people who are learning to be psychopaths. And by psychopath, I mean somebody who is devoid of the ability to empathize, sympathize, or even counter the sicknesses that are placed before them in real time. I mean, Muhammad, look, there is a Jewish community out there that is not on board with these criminals' acts. However, they're all too limited in their resistance to it. I don't see mass resistance of the Jewish community to this carnage and to this sickness that I see being spewed worldwide by this group. Where are the good Jews?
It's a very important question, Darrell. We do find ourselves looking at this evil which has just been perpetrated in Palestine, an evil which has been going on for 50 years, and this was just the latest installment of it. Yet, in spite of this imagery that came over the mainstream media, in spite of its gut-wrenching qualities and the content which would move any normal human being, we find, with some exceptions, there are some exceptions, but we find mostly silence. And, you know, there are many expressions in mankind now where the worst effect that to do nothing in the sight of oppression is to side with the oppressor.
That is right.
To remain silent is a tacit approval by these people of these acts. There are a limited number of people from the Jewish community, even a couple of politicians, who stood up in the UK and said, this is unacceptable conduct. But they are the exception, and they are a tiny minority.
Well, how is it then, that as we come into this mess, as we speak right now, that we are developing even a worse problem on our horizon, which I have tried to explain to the listeners both in South Africa and the rest of the world, that some of the horrors being visited upon the Palestinians are soon to be visited upon us?
Well, what we can learn is that the belief system that these people have demonstrates what they're capable of doing under that belief system, what they can justify to themselves, what they can consider as natural and normal under their belief system. And what we have to do then is to take that step back and say, hey, if they can do that to them, they can do that to me, they can do that to anyone. Because they've demonstrated they're capable of it. It's not a question of can they do this. They have done. Now the next question is merely to whom are they going to apply this corrupt theology? Who's next on the list of animals, half-humans, that they can decide should be treated in such manner?
Well, you know, Muhammad, I'm going to have to take another break here for some ad time, and we'll be right back after these breaks. So hold that thought, and we'll be right back with you, ladies and gentlemen.